It's going to be on the screen as well. Psalm chapter 8, reading from verses 1 through to 9. Amen. As I was preparing this message, my mind went to the many stories that I've heard and I continue to hear about people in countries, Syria, Pakistan, all the countries in the world where Christians are being persecuted. Just this week, continually getting emails from groups of Christians in refugee camps, fled from Syria, from a whole family in Thailand. All of their cards, they got their UNHCR card, they're Christians, mum, dad, all the children. They write to me, they say, "Pastor, is there anything you can do? We're here, where this is hard, we can't continue to do this. Is there anything you can do so we can come to your country?" And I was thinking about that, and there's probably not much I can do. I'll write a letter, probably to this gentleman over here. Eventually, after it's gone through all the hands, it will land on his desk. And I know he has a very compassionate heart. We've talked. But there's one thing that I can write back. I can tell them, although it doesn't sound enough, but Jesus is their friend, and he never forgets about them. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 8, verses 1 to 9, "O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above all the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider the heavens," talking of God, "when I consider the heavens, when I consider the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained," everything that you have created, God, "when I consider that, I think to myself, who am I, or what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him?" Why, God? Who am I for you to care about me? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8, it says, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed." Last reading is in Isaiah 49, verse 15, before we're seated. It says, "Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains. For the Lord hath comforted his people and will have mercy upon his afflicted. But Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me and my God has forgotten me. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, a human being may forget, but God says, I will never forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of thy hands, and thy walls are continually before me." I think about the people in faraway countries. I think about the journeys that many people in our church have taken to be able to get to a safe place. I think about the days walking through the jungle that many of the families here have taken to find refuge. I want to preach today, Jesus, the friend of the forgotten. Jesus, the friend of the forgotten. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that we can be here today. And in just these few short moments, all, Lord, that you would speak to us through your word. Lord, give us a word in our hearts that we can remember from now and, Lord, to apply it to our lives. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. Amen. You may be seated. Jesus, the friend of the forgotten. You see, the picture that is thrown up on the screen there will remind many of the wonderful story of the footprints in the sand. How many people can relate to the footprints in the sand? When we look back, and there was one set of footprints because it was God who carried us through. And many of us are here today have a testimony to say that we have been through trials and many troubles and tribulation in our life. And when we look back, we know that it was not us, but it was God who carried us through. I've come to tell you that Jesus is a friend of the forgotten. There are three people that I would love to bring to this stage today. I wish I could bring them here. I wish they could stand here so that you could see them. I wish you could meet them. I wish you could meet this first lady. I wish she could stand here so you could all see. I wish you could see the kind of shape that she was in, because she had suffered, the Bible says, for 12 years with an issue of blood. The doctors couldn't help her. She's the woman who had the issue of blood, and it's spoken of in Matthew chapter 9. It says she was diseased with an issue of blood for 12 years. And that the crowd was surrounding Jesus as Jesus went through the city. People had crowded all around Jesus. They were pushing. The Bible says they were thronging, much like a celebrity these days. But there was a forgotten woman there that day who had tried everything she could to find a healing. She's the woman with the issue of her blood. She came behind, the Bible says, through the crowd, and she touched the hem of his garment. Everybody say the hem. You see, she did the best she possibly could. She couldn't touch H-I-M. She couldn't touch him. All she had was to touch the hem of his garment. She gave everything she could pushing through that crowd. She reached out and she touched the hem of his garment. Some would say that Jesus was busy that day and he had better things to do than to deal with just one woman among such a big crowd. The Bible says that Jesus turned about. Jesus stopped, and just one little touch of the hem of his garment, she had the attention of Jesus Christ. And he said, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole." And the Bible says that the woman was made whole from that hour. She received her healing because Jesus is a friend of the forgotten. Everybody say, praise the Lord. You see, everybody had forgotten about her. Everybody had forgotten that she had spent everything that she had. Everybody had forgotten that she had gone from doctor to doctor, that she had given everything she could to find a cure. Now it seems one day that she's alone. She's lonely. It seems like everybody has got something else to do. She didn't have anybody to take her to Jesus. She had no one to go and say, "Would you come and pray for my servant?" She didn't have a father to go, Jairus' daughter. She didn't have a father, Jairus, to go to Jesus and say, "Would you come and pray for my daughter?" She had nobody because she was forgotten. Everybody would have said to her, "You're weak. You're in no condition to do that. You've been sick for 12 years. You're small and you're frail. There's no way that you can possibly push through that crowd." She said, "Oh no, but if I can just touch the hem of his garment, if that's all I've got in every strength I've got, if even if I can't touch him, if I can just touch his hem, I know that Jesus loves me. I know that he is a friend of the forgotten." The Bible says that she makes her way through the crowd, forgotten by everybody, but not forgotten by him. Because Jesus is the friend of the forgotten. In Luke chapter 5, we're introduced to another man. I would love to bring this man to this platform today so you could meet him. He's the leprous man. In Luke chapter 5, verse 12, it says, "It came to pass when Jesus was in a certain city that there was a man full of leprosy." Everybody say leprosy. The Bible says that when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and besought him and said, "Jesus, if you can make me whole, make me clean, I need a healing." And the Bible says that Jesus put forth his hand. Everyone say, he put his hand forth. The Bible says Jesus touched him. Jesus said, "Be thou clean." And the Bible says immediately the leprosy departed from him. To be able to understand the full magnitude of this story of the leprous man, you need to understand a little bit about history. You need to understand a little bit about the way lepers were treated. You see, when somebody became a leper, they were first of all removed from their home. When they became a leper, they were also removed from their families. Their whole life to change. You see, many lepers, if you study history, did not die from the disease, but they simply took their own lives. Leprosy was literally a living death. The news to be told you had leprosy was the most terrible thing that you could hear. Because if you had leprosy, you were, number one, destined to be segregated. You were destined to be left out. You were destined to lose your job, to be removed from your family. You were destined to be forgotten. But one day, as the scripture we read says, that this leprous man met Jesus. Everybody else, when they met a leper, they expected him to cry, "Unclean! Unclean!" And they would all move to the other side of the street. But when this leprous man met Jesus, he found somebody who is a friend of the forgotten. Everybody else left him. Nobody else would touch him. He said to Jesus, "Lord, if you will make me clean." And Jesus said, "I will. Be thou clean." And look at this. It says that Jesus reached out and touched him. I wish you could see it today. I wish you could see exactly what happened there. I don't know how to describe it. I wish you could see the master's hands on this man's festered flesh. I wish you could see the eyes of this leprous man as he realized that somebody has just touched him. Everybody else is walking on the other side of the street. But he said, "Jesus, can you heal me?" And Jesus walked up to him and he touched him on his festered skin. He said, "Be thou healed." You see, Jesus cares about the forgotten. Jesus is a friend of the forgotten. You see, nobody else would even come near, but Jesus is a friend of the forgotten. Everyone say, "Praise the Lord." You see, a lot of us, we were forgotten. A lot of us, we had nowhere to go. A lot of us, we'd been cast out. A lot of us, we had things we don't want anybody to know about. We had shame in our past, but we sit here today because of the grace and the mercy of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We sit here today, old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And somebody ought to clap their hands this morning for that. There was another man. I wish you could bring him here. He's a small guy. We used to sing about him in Sunday school. There was a man named Zacchaeus. And the song used to say, "And a wee little man was he." The Bible says that Jesus was on his way to Jericho. And behold, a man named Zacchaeus, he was chief among the tax collectors. And he was rich. Now, number one, we don't like tax collectors. Number two, we dislike rich tax collectors even more. This guy was not someone that you'd invite for a barbecue. This man, Zacchaeus, was chief. He was rich. And when he saw Jesus, he said he saw the crowd that was surrounding Jesus. And he realized, he said, "There's no way that I could possibly get through this crowd to get to Jesus. I'm small, I'm a nobody." In fact, maybe he even thought, "You know, if I try to push that through that crowd, there are going to be people just going to kick me because I'm just a tax collector. People are going to put a naughty little nasty sign on my back." I keep away from the crowd. The Bible says that he ran ahead of Jesus, and he climbed up into a sycamore tree because he was little of stature. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he saw him. And he said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry up, make haste, come down from the tree. For today I want to come to your house. I want to come to your house for tea." And Zacchaeus quickly made haste. He got down out of the tree and he received Jesus joyfully. You see, Jesus was on his way to Jericho. But I believe Jesus took a detour because of one man, Zacchaeus. You see, he realized that Zacchaeus was a man in need of a Savior. He realized that nobody had time for Zacchaeus. He realized that he was forgotten and outcast. But Jesus is a friend of the forgotten. The crowd around, the Bible says, they murmured. They said, "What is Jesus doing? What is Jesus doing going to be a guest with this terrible man, this tax collector? What is Jesus doing going to be with this sinner?" And Zacchaeus stood and said, "Lord, The half of my goods I'm going to give them to the poor. And if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I'm going to give it back four times as much. And Jesus said, salvation is come to your house. And in verse 10 says, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. Jesus is a friend of the forgotten. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter where you are in your stage of life. Jesus knows where you are. You may feel forgotten. You may feel like you've been put aside by your family, by everything. But I want to tell you, Jesus knows where you are. A mother can't forget her sucking child. The Bible says that Jesus has us engraved on the palm of his hands. Zacchaeus, a forgotten man. The woman with the issue of blood, a forgotten woman. The leprous man, a discarded man, but Jesus was a friend of all of them. You see, it didn't matter how much everyone had hated these people, how much people had cast them out. All that mattered to Jesus, he said, I have come to seek and to save the lost. Jesus is a friend of the forgotten. We read in the Bible, it says that while we were yet sinners, that Christ died for us. That's something to shout about today. That's something to smile about in the house of God, because while we didn't deserve it, Jesus Christ died for us. While I was a sinner, he went all the way to Calvary. He hung and he died on that cross. He didn't wait till I became holy. He didn't wait till I became righteous. He didn't wait till I got it all together and sorted out. He died for me while I was yet a sinner, while I was forgotten. You see, if you think society has kicked you out, let me tell you, Jesus will bring you in because he's a friend of the forgotten. We go to Matthew chapter 27, and I'm almost done. We read here about the account of Jesus' betrayal. He was betrayed for money. Judas had sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. He kissed him. He betrayed him for money. Shortly after, we read in Matthew 27 that Judas began to feel so guilty about what he had done. He's got the 30 pieces of silver in his hand and he's feeling so guilty of what he had done in betraying Jesus Christ. The Bible says that he departed and he went and hung himself. The chief priests were there beforehand, and Judas went into the priest. He said, I can't do anything with this money, this 30 pieces of silver. I can't bear the guilt anymore. Here I am holding the money, the price of Jesus' betrayal. I'm holding it in my hands. And he went in. He said, I want to give you this money to the church. He said, I want to give it to you. I want to get it off my hands, this 30 pieces of silver. They said, we can't take that. The chief priest said, it's blood money. It's the money you got from betraying Jesus. We can't take it. And it says, and he cast it down in the temple and went and hung himself. The chief priest, it's on the screen number 6, took the silver pieces and said, it's not lawful that we should put them in the treasury because it is the price of blood. And so they talked amongst themselves and took counsel, and they went and brought a potter's field. Everyone say a potter's field. They went and bought a potter's field so they could use it as a burial ground for strangers. You see, when strangers came into a city and died, they had nowhere to go. They had no family plot where they could be buried. They would be buried in the city. In fact, over in the Middle East, you'll find that people are buried very quickly. Just the day after, they will bury them. So if someone, a stranger, died in a city, didn't have any family, they didn't have any family plot, they would take them and they would bury them in just basically some land that wasn't valuable. And the place that they bought was a potter's field. They said, don't give us the money, but they went and bought a potter's field. And everybody thought, it's strange. It's so strange that they would take that money and they would buy a potter's field. You see, what a potter's field is back in the day, the potter was like your Kmart or your IKEA. back then, basically every household item was a pot. Pottery, handmade. And so the potter would take that pottery, and if it was broken, if it was cracked, if it was deformed, if the quality of the clay wasn't good enough, the potter would have a field right next to his workshop, and he would take that pottery and he would throw it out into the field. All of the cracked pots, all of the broken pots, all of the things that were rejected by the potter, all of the broken pieces, the pieces that weren't good enough to be worked with, they would be thrown into the potter's field. And we keep reading the scripture. We go back one slide. Wherefore that field was called the field of blood unto this day. Thus was fulfilled what they didn't realize. What they didn't realize is that 400 years earlier, 400 years earlier, the prophet Jeremiah had prophesied that they would take the price of him that was valued, that is Jesus, and whom they of the children of Israel did value. They would take the price of the valued one, Jesus Christ, and gave them for the potter's field. Jesus was sold for 30 pieces of silver. And 30 pieces of silver, the price of his blood, was used to purchase a potter's field. Throw that potter's field up on the screen again for me. The price of his blood, the price of his betrayal, the price, what ultimately took Jesus to the cross, was used to buy a potter's field. And by buying a potter's field, the blood of Jesus purchased everything that the potter had thrown away. That potter's field was full of broken pots, clay that wasn't up to standard, things that didn't meet what the market wanted. It was the forgotten pieces, the rejected pieces, the outcast pieces, and the price of Jesus' blood bought the potter's field. And in dying on the cross, Jesus' blood bought everybody who's been forgotten. It bought everybody who had been cast out. His blood purchased those who had been rejected. His blood bought those who had been forgotten in far countries. His blood purchased our salvation while we were yet sinners. And so Jesus still buys the broken. Jesus still buys the bruised. Jesus still buys the embarrassing. Jesus still buys, Jesus still loves that which society has thrown away. And I want to tell you today, just simply, Jesus is a friend of the forgotten. You might sit here today and you're not in a situation like someone in Syria or someone in a place of the world that is being persecuted. Maybe you're here today and you think, well, Pastor, you know, my problems that I face seem so insignificant. It doesn't matter how insignificant it is. You are not forgotten by Jesus Christ. The Bible says that he is touched by the feelings of our infirmities. I encourage you today, you are not forgotten. Let's all stand in this place today. The price of him, Jesus was sold for 30 pieces of silver. The price of his blood was used to purchase the potter's field. Jesus didn't go to the cross. It was no waste. It wasn't just some ritual. It wasn't just some good man who died for humanity. But what happened on that cross was God himself had robed himself in flesh and had come and died for sinners, for the forgotten, for the rejected. Are you thankful for that today? Let's lift our hands all across this place. We thank you, Jesus, that you care for us. We thank you, Lord, that you are a friend of the forgotten. We thank you, Lord, that even while we think we're so obscure and outcast and forgotten, that Jesus, you have your eye on us, that we are not forgotten by you. Society may have forgotten us, but you never forget us. We thank you, Lord, that you have a spot in the kingdom for us, insignificant us, because you are a friend of the forgotten.